Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Bill Michaels Show, we are on the air. How are you doing? How was your weekend? Hopefully you had a good one. And we're back at it again today. The NFL draft coming up. We got the combine right around the corner. Going to talk some bracketology today. Jerry Palm from CBSSports.com is going to be here. He's going to join us. We're going to talk with Steve Novak. We had on Friday night, if you missed it, we had an absolute blast on Friday night. We did the Milwaukee Basketball Hour live from Concordia University, and that was like, and I had made a mention of it, and people said, nah, that was like going to College game day. Now, we didn't have 10,000 fans in the stands behind us, but we had the hall that they put us in. They put in about 30 to 50 seats, and then more showed up, and it was a stream to get in. Myself, Steve Novak, who we're going to talk to coming up here in a little bit, and Dante DiVincenzo. Oh, my God. It was a great audience, and we had so much fun, and I would love to do that again. We had an absolute blast, so that was a tremendous time on Friday night. So you're going to hear some of that conversation with Dante DiVincenzo coming up here a little bit later on in the program. Steve Novak going to be joining us today. The Bucks and the Sixers, and the best player in the world in Joel Embiid, horse's ass, ain't happening. As Joel Embiid just, he was schooled. He just looked bad. He looked lethargic. He looked down. He brought his team down. That's not the best player. That's not even close. I said he wasn't even in the top five, top ten, and he's not. He's just not. He's got to go away. You know, he's going to, I did some stuff with the guys at the Whip this morning out in Philadelphia, the radio station there. And no. No, they're talking about him being in casinos at midnight and 1 a.m. and all this kind of stuff. Meanwhile, you got Giannis who misses a free throw, and he's next door over at the workout facility shooting 500 free throws. No. Joel Embiid, he talks the talk, but he doesn't walk it at all. He needs to stop. So we're going to talk a little bit about that coming up. We're going to talk some more Badger hoops coming up also because the Badgers got a nice win over Rutgers over the weekend. And I hate to be the one to do this because I seem to pound this drum more than any, and people were alerting me to the fact over the weekend. But if you are listening to us in Madison, we're the students. I'm to the point now where I really, if I'm Barry Alvarez, you don't want to eliminate the students, but what the hell? You got a packed Kohl Center, the Badgers starting to play some winning basketball, and the students don't even show up anymore. You talk about an apathetic, lazy, crappy student section. It's, you know what? You hold back because this is where you're broadcasting. This is where you're from, right? But then you look at all these other places and students are going crazy and they've got signs and they've got heads and they've got all the, and then the Badger student section embarrasses itself. And I don't want to hear anymore about we can't get in and process and procedures and just stop. Just stop. You're lame. Just go. Just wear a shirt that says I'm part of the student section and I suck. The Badger student section sucks. They just do. Just terrible. So anyway, we're going to talk with Burke Griffin coming up later on today, the sports director from WFRV-TV, CBS 5 in Green Bay. We're going to get his thoughts as the Packers start to head towards the combine and what they are looking for and get his thoughts about this offseason. Mason Crosby, I had this gut feeling there's no way you can let Mason Crosby walk, but he signs a 3-year contract extension with the Green Bay Packers. That was great to see. I was really glad to see that Mason Crosby's going to be sticking around. He's a guy that has been pretty much money for the Green Bay Packers. You know, when you've got somebody, when you see all these other teams struggling, and you've got somebody in your own backyard that is getting it done and getting it done consistently, you stick with them. You just keep riding that horse. You don't jump off midstream, and certainly not with anybody right now that is as short-legged as Mason Crosby and as short-legged as he was throughout all the adversity that he faced last season off the field. So good to see Mason Crosby sticking around. And like I said, you're going to hear from Dante DiVincenzo coming up here in just a little bit. But when you talk about the Green Bay Packers, you think, okay, depending on who you talk to, what do they need and where are they going? It is a vast array. I'm reading over the weekend, and I had a lot of time. I was up north over the weekend. I just took off and just went and recharged the batteries over the weekend. So I'm reading just numerous articles. And I was reading NFL.com. I was reading some USA Today. I was reading some of the scouting reports. And everybody believes that Aaron Rodgers needs more weapons. Everybody believes that the Green Bay Packers need a linebacker. Everybody believes that they need to solidify the right tackle position. They need another tight end. And they need that more beef up front when it comes to helping out Kenny Clark. In what order and what fashion is a myriad of opinions. And by that I mean, do you go after linebacker first and continue to fortify a defense because you can win championships with defense, yes or no? Correct. Do you go after an inside linebacker? Do you go up in the draft to get an inside linebacker? Or some will say you go up in the draft to get one of the top wide receivers. Give Aaron Rodgers another guy to throw to. Then some will say, and kind of along the same lines of my thinking, some will say, hey, yeah, you need another wide receiver, but you need somebody that's going to know it and really going to have a familiarity with defenses and such in the National Football League. So, yes, you jump up in the draft, but in addition to that, you go after a veteran. You got to get on the open market. You got to find another guy that can come in and be the number two to Devontae Adams. You got to find a linebacker that knows it. You got to dip into free agency that way, and you got to find a guy that's capable of not only calling your signals, but also understanding other offenses and has the ability to cover over the middle and fill the gaps and fill the holes. But you also need beef up front, and it's hard to find beef up front as a rookie that's going to come in and be an impactful play. So depending on how you get from point A to point B or what your philosophy is depending on which way the Green Bay Packers are going to go. So it just depends on who you ask and who you talk to about where this team should go. So we can get into that discussion. And also the Green Bay Packers re-signing Mason Crosby. And like I said, I think it's a good move, but if you're out there thinking something different, convince me otherwise. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. You want to chime in? Do it! That's the way. You can also find us over on Twitter, @Bill_Michaels. You can find us on the Radio.com app as well. Go to Radio.com and download it. Put it on your mobile device. And then all you got to do is just search Bill Michaels or Bill Michaels Show. And you're going to find us. Like us there. And then anytime we have something coming up or the show's coming on the air, you're going to get a notification. And it's always good. Plus, you work it like a DVR. Fast forward, rewind, pause, all that kind of good stuff. Great way to stay in touch with the program on the Radio.com app. So Green Bay Packers. Now, I think we all agree, linebacking, defensive front, wide receiver, tight end, maybe even additional depth at the running back position. Okay? I think we're all pretty much in agreement. You tell me, is your top priority a draft of a wide receiver or a free agent wide receiver? You tell me why. A draft of a middle linebacker or a free agent middle linebacker. So are you going into free agency heavy, or are you looking to the draft heavy? How would you, if you're Brian Gutekunst right now, and you're down at the combine, and you're getting ready to watch these guys run around and jump, and 40 times, and lateral times, and shuttle times, and bench times, and all that kind of stuff, bench counts. So you tell me, you're looking for draftees, there's no doubt about it. But the number one thing on your priority list is what? Is it a wide receiver out of the draft or a wide receiver in free agency? That's what I want to know. Because the methodology, everybody agrees on the totality, but the methodology is something different. 855-830-8648. We're going to talk about that and get your phone calls when we come back right after this in the Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We'll be right back.
Michaels Show. We are on the air. We are brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. You've got Wednesday Night Live right around the corner, returning at the end of May, beginning of June. And, oh, we'll get some music out there in the summer months. Under the stars, good stuff. And it's all brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. So we'll talk a little bit about the NFL, the combine coming up, the priorities coming up. There was a mention over the weekend, by the way, of the NFL draft possibly coming to Green Bay. And I would never doubt that. I mean, because there's never going to be a Super Bowl in Green Bay. And they're always looking for ways to kind of get back to their roots. They did it in Chicago once. And ever since New York really PO'd the NFL has just kind of avoided New York as much as they possibly could. Thus, the trip to Vegas. And so it wouldn't shock me at all if they decided to say, "Hey, we're gonna go back to kind of where it all began, and we're gonna go back to Green Bay, one of the cornerstones of the NFL, and try to put the NFL draft in Green Bay." I know it would take quite a bit of planning and maybe some infrastructure changes over the next few years to get it done, but no, that would be a tremendous thing for the Green Bay Packers, for the fans, and for the economy there, and in the surrounding areas as well. You would assume that maybe they do it over at the arena and have things inside Lambeau Field. I can't imagine them trying to pack in that many people into the atrium at Lambeau Field. Maybe they do. I don't know. But it would be it'd be cool. It'd be a cool event if they could indeed get the NFL draft to come to Green Bay. I know that got some traction over the weekend, but. And I just wait and see. But I've always said, look, I know people want to see them get a Super Bowl. And just, look, we've been to so many of these things and the enormity of it and how much is dependent on the outside and the weather and the concerts. And it's just, you can't, I don't think they'll ever do it in a cold weather city again, to be perfectly honest with you. I really don't. And it's unfortunate. I'm not saying that, you know, it doesn't deserve it. But I just don't ever think they would do it. Because of the it's just difficult. The turnout, the ability just wouldn't be the same. When you go to some of these and you're in Phoenix, which just their convention center is massive, massive. Same thing with San Francisco. We were in Houston, and Houston's convention center. Milwaukee's convention center is maybe a fifth of what the convention center is in Houston. For the NFL fan experience. There's no way you could host all of that in just that building. You know, and I'm talking about putting it in Milwaukee, much less putting it anywhere else. So I don't think it would ever be hosted here, as far as a Super Bowl goes, hosted here in the state of Wisconsin. But an NFL draft, yeah, I mean, they can make that work. I can see that happening. Let's go to Eric, listening to us in Madison. Eric, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, Bill, how are you today, sir?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
You mentioned a wide receiver. I would personally, a Christmas present to all Packer fans, Amari Cooper. I know that's big money. I know they need a tackle. I know they need to upgrade the guard. You want Kenny Clark to play nose tackle and pick up a defensive end, or move Kenny Clark to defensive end and pick up a nose tackle. You need two inside linebackers. And Rodgers is this big old Hall of Fame quarterback, but everybody says he needs help. We need some help with Amari Cooper. I mean, it's big bucks, but I mean, that would be absolutely outrageous, man, outstanding if they got Amari Cooper.
No, I would agree with that.
What about if that's pretty much out of sight, what about a guy like Robbie Anderson from the New York Jets? Wouldn't that be maybe a little bit more realistic?
Well, somebody like that would be able to be the – yeah. See, if you're going to bring in Amari Cooper, is Amari Cooper your number one or your number two? I mean, don't get me wrong. You would then have two legitimate number one bookends, okay? But is he your number one read or number two read? And remember when they wanted to bring Randy Moss in, they brought Randy Moss in and said, okay, you are going to be the number two. You are not going to be the number one guy. You're not coming in here to take over and be the guy. You're taking over here to support the guy. Is Amari Cooper going to do that? Because that's the way they're going to want to pay him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So as much as I agree with you, I'd love to see Amari Cooper here. What most likely will happen, and remember, after this year, the escalation of salary for Aaron Rodgers gets rather dramatic. So even though you're getting $10 million additional this year, my assumption would be you're going to try to find that mid-level wide receiver that's savvy enough to get open, going to make some catches, maybe as a guy that's going to give you about 600-700 yards, can be that number two to Davante Adams, or more, I mean, obviously. But then you're going to go draft a high-end wide receiver as well, most likely in the first or second round, depending on what falls to you and what you have ability to get. But then you're going to go in that direction. But I couldn't agree more. You need a veteran wide receiver. That's just the way I see it. Because as much as you want to talk about bringing in a really high-end wide receiver in the draft, all we heard about all season long is trust and on the same page, right? So if that's the way Aaron Rodgers is going to view the ability and or the trustworthiness of a wide receiver to say, I got to be on the same page with him, well, how long does that take? I mean, you heard when we were at Super Bowl, you heard guys like James Jones and Jordy Nelson that joined us that said, look, it takes a few years. You don't have a few years. You can't. So you got to be able to trust a guy that's savvy enough, that's veteran enough to understand it. And I think you go get a wide receiver, but I think you have to go get a veteran wide receiver. You got to get a free agent wide receiver somewhere down the road so you can say, I fortified that position. And then don't forget, I mean, you're going to get a guy like Equanimeous St. Brown back, and maybe one of the guys that you have in your stable takes that next step forward. So you're going to go into next season and going into training camp with probably 7 or 8, maybe 9 of these guys sitting there, and then you figure out let the cream rise to the top and the dust settle, and then everybody else just kind of gets let go or goes to a practice squad. But I can't imagine that they don't go get a veteran wide receiver. But Amari Cooper, I'd love to see. But do you tell Amari you're coming in to be the number two to Davante Adams? And if you go out and get Amari Cooper, what do you tell Davante Adams? And I know, look, we shouldn't have to worry about egos. It's all about winning. But there are egos and money involved. And is Amari Cooper going to take number two money? Of course not. He's just going to take a lot of money. And then you got to think about how long you're going to sign him for, because then Aaron Rodgers' escalator kicks in, not this coming season, but next season, and that's quite a bit of money. And then are you going to be able to afford a guy like Amari Cooper, plus whatever else it is you sign this offseason? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. You want to chime in? Go ahead and give us a shout. James says, yes, the NFL Combine, also known as the Underwear Olympics. How the hell can you tell how players are going to play when they're running around in their underwear? Here's what this does, the Combine does, and I say this every year. The Combine is basically there for you to verify what you already have seen on film. If you're going to the Combine, if you're going to go to the Combine, and you are then going to try to find yourself a guy, you failed as a general manager. What you're going to the Combine for is you've already done your homework. You've already looked at these guys. Then what you're going to do is you're going to go there and say, okay, does this guy really run a 40 the way that he should? You know what I mean? And if he verifies everything you've seen on film, his speed, then you're like, okay, that's the guy that we had our eye on. That's the guy that's legit. And you get a chance to talk to him. You get a chance to talk to these guys. So you get a chance to see some of their thoughts, their ability to understand certain things, their ability to think on the fly, their ability to speak. You know, I mean, do they have the smarts? Do they have, or are they not that good? You know what I mean? So they have a lot of that stuff. So that's what you're trying to do, is you're trying to verify what you've already seen on film. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Going back to when I was talking about this a little bit earlier, and we'll get into this coming up a little bit later on, but this is from Brian. This is, no wonder people don't go to the games. For blank like this, it happens, makes you want to watch other sports. And he's talking about the Badger student section not showing up. And, okay, I get it. I get it. This one is from Lance. Lance writes in the Wendy's email inbox. He says, I think the Packers need a mid-level wide receiver and also a mid-level linebacker just to support what you've got going on defensively speaking. Then you go to the draft to find your trenches guys, and you go to the draft to find your other wide receiver. The Packers should be good. Look for another solid season out of them. I don't know if they're going to win 13 games, maybe 12, and they're still going to find themselves in an NFC Championship game. Do they have the ability to then knock off a team that is better defensively than they are? Well, that goes back to the weaponry they have, the season they have, the health that they have, because you just can't count on what we witnessed this year. They were one of the healthiest teams in the NFL. When's the last time that happened? It's been a long time. been almost 20 years since the team has been this healthy going into the postseason the way the Bucks were. Or the way the Packers were, excuse me. Got Bucks on my mind. The way the Packers were. So you can't count on that because that's few and far between. Yes, it's great because you can say, well, they changed up their training habits. They did a lot of things differently this year. They took care of their bodies, and there's something to be said for that. I agree with that. But just dumb luck also plays into injuries. A guy not rolling up on the back of your knee or not rolling up on the back of your ankle or a guy not blindsiding you, you know? So there's a lot of different things that goes into a team being healthy. When we come back, Jerry Palm, bracketologist for CBS Sports, we're going to talk with him as we start to get down towards March Madness. We're getting there. We're only a couple of weeks away from March. Conference tournaments and things like that. Then we're going to get into the actual bracketology of where some of the local teams like Marquette and like the Badgers could place in this thing before it's all said and done. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Coach's Pub and Grill. If you're going to go down to South 13th Street, get yourself the Big Boy Burger. Be good to go. They're good people over there. Cornet and his whole staff are great people. Stop in. Tell them we said hi. Don't forget, right there on South 13th Street. And they do a lot of stuff when it comes to sports as well. They've got teams. They've got volleyball. They got a lot of things indoors down there as well. Go in and say hi to our friends at Coach's Pub and Grill. And also Ben and the whole staff at Lake Country Garage Doors. 262-751-2674. You can also find them on Facebook or just go to lakecountrygaragedoors.com. They are a top-quality garage door company. They put you first. They've worked in my house. They can work on yours, and they do a great job. They strive to provide the best solutions at the most competitive rates. So just call my buddy Ben, 262-751-2674. That's 262-751-2674. That's Lake Country Doors. More of the Bill Michaels Show. We are going to be talking bracketology. Coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show. We are on the air. Love that music. Love this time of year. We're getting into college hoops. Going to talk at bracketology coming up here momentarily. Jerry Palm of CBS Sports going to be joining us. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip. Don't forget the Quick Trip Loyalty Rewards Card. Download the app on your mobile device or just stop in and get it. It's absolutely free. Start earning rewards right here, right now. That is from our friends at Quick Trip. We're getting to it. Getting closer. The madness is about to begin, and let's talk about where these teams are going to end up, some of the local ones specifically, but nevertheless, Jerry Palm from CBSSports.com joining us right now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Jerry, how you been?
I'm fine. How are you?
We are doing extremely well. So first and foremost, I've seen different projections and a lot of teams coming out of the Big Ten. Is the Big Ten the strongest conference right now in college hoops?
Certainly the deepest. You know, it's a remarkable season that the league has had. I think every team in the league, except Minnesota, I'm sorry, Northwestern and Nebraska, are in the top 50 of the net. Actually, I think Indiana's a little outside of that as well. But, you know, so you're playing quality teams every time you take the floor in this league, and that shows up in the difficulty teams have had winning on the road. And it's showing up in the number of teams that may make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I'm looking, everybody, Indiana, Ohio State, Wisconsin, obviously Wisconsin a 7 seed right now in some of the projections in your bracketology. So give me the lowdown on Wisconsin, because Wisconsin has had somewhat of an up-and-down season, but it certainly seems a little bit lesser competition, if you want to call it that, but they've somewhat righted the ship, and it seems like even after all the controversy of the Kobe King stuff, seems like they've kind of put it all together, and they're starting to hit on all cylinders at the right time.
Yeah, they are. It's funny because, in fact, I was saying that to somebody the other day. It's like, okay, they lose their second leading scorer. I think it was right before the Iowa game. They lost to Iowa. But since then, they've won 5 out of 6, and they're playing some of their best ball of the season. It's, getting hot at the right time, played themselves off the bubble. At this point, they'd have to, you know, lose some games they definitely shouldn't to get back into trouble in terms of selection. But, you know, now they're playing to see if they can be a top half of the bracket team. It's a really good finish to the season for Wisconsin.
Maryland, obviously the top dog in the Big Ten, they would be listed as, say, a number 2 seed right now, correct?
Yes, that's where I have them at the two.
Okay, and then you follow it up. You got teams like Michigan State, obviously, has been there. Iowa's been there. You look at a lot of the different teams. Michigan is another one sitting at about, a five or something like that. There's, there's quite a few. I'm really liking what I'm seeing out of the Big Ten. I think, is there a champion in the Big Ten? Is Maryland capable of winning it all?
They are. They're certainly good enough. Absolutely. And then, I'll give you a couple that are a little bit more off your radar. I mean, of course, Michigan State was the preseason number one. Part of that was they were expecting, you know, the people who were making those decisions were expecting Josh Langford to play, and of course he couldn't. And is out for the year with his injured foot. So that's hurt them a little bit, hurt their depth, and especially, you know, with size. So I don't know if they can get all the way six games. But Ohio State is starting to round into form again after some roster issues in the, say, early part of January. And, you know, right before that, they were poised to be the number one team in the polls and lost at Minnesota right before Christmas. But they've come back around and are looking more like that team that was ready to ascend to number one. And then Michigan, who also had an injury problem, a significant one, to Isaiah Livers, who was out for about 8 or 9 games, except for maybe 20 minutes against Illinois. And Michigan really suffered without him. He's back, and they are starting to look like the team that beat Gonzaga in non-conference play. And they were in the top five for a while as well. So those are two teams that might be seeded a little bit lower than their talent and their ability might represent.
When I start to look around the rest of, you know, just bracketology in general, a lot of familiar faces, obviously. But then again, you see a team that keeps climbing a number two in Dayton, and everybody thought that looked over the fence, Dayton would be good. I don't know if we thought they'd be this good. The other team in our own backyard, Marquette. Marquette also a number seven seed as the way it sits right now. Talk about Marquette and what they've been able to accomplish.
Yeah, they're having a really good season. Of course, they've got, you know, Marcus Howard coming back to play another year at Marquette was huge for them. They're struggling a little bit right now. They've lost three in a row, you know, at Villanova, home Creighton, at Providence. You know, those are all good teams, and Providence is really getting hot. So those aren't really bad losses, but they're starting to slide down the bracket a little bit. But when you've got a guy like Marcus Howard, you've got a chance to beat anybody because he can take over a game. And I kind of liken it, and this is, you know, I'm a Purdue guy, so my own frame of reference is Carson Edwards last year in the NCAA tournament. I think Marcus Howard is capable of that kind of play through the NCAA tournament and maybe carry his team as far as, you know, the second weekend or a possible Elite Eight kind of performance. But, you know, I think they're going to be more dependent on him to do that kind of thing than perhaps that Purdue team last year.
And then when you start to, you know, kind of go, by the way, we're talking with Jerry Palm, bracketologist for CBS Sports. You start to look down the list, you look at the SEC, you look at the ACC. Tell me about some of these other ones. Obviously, Big 12, there's Kansas that is sitting there right now. Baylor's had a really solid season again. Gonzaga, San Diego State. Give me some of the thoughts on some of these other number one teams.
Yeah, well, Baylor and Kansas gave us a classic game over the weekend.
Yes, they did.
Maybe more defensive-oriented, but, these were two very good teams making great plays at both ends of the floor throughout that contest, and you can see why. They are number one and two in the bracket. Kansas jumped Baylor for number one after that win, and they may play again in the Big 12 championship game, and maybe we'll see them again in Atlanta. But those two teams are having fantastic seasons and deserve their position. Gonzaga and San Diego State as well. Of course, San Diego State picked up their first loss of the season, but they've beaten Creighton and Iowa and BYU, all top 25 teams. They don't play any of them at home. Gonzaga has beaten Oregon and Arizona. So, you know, those are outstanding teams. And Gonzaga is, they're not terribly deep. They only play about seven guys, but those are talented guys. And all four of those teams are capable of winning a national championship. You mentioned the ACC. They're having a very weird year. Louisville, Florida State, Duke, two three-seed kind of teams, very good, all capable of winning everything. And then you have a tremendous gap to the fourth team, who is Virginia, and a double-digit seed.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe one other team, NC State, could get in, and nobody else seems to have much of a chance. It's not the kind of year we expect normally see from the ACC when they're talking about seven or eight teams comfortably in the field, maybe five. this year, and only three with a chance really to get to the second weekend.
When you talk about obviously the Virginia Cavaliers, we pay attention to it with Tony Bennett, and we've been watching their bubble watch and stuff, and you know, Clark assists per game has been really good for them, and Jay Huff, I love watching his shots from the outside specifically. But what has it been about Virginia this year that just has not given Tony Bennett what he thought he'd have?
Well, they play the defense they've always played. You know, that's their bread and butter. They're outstanding on that end of the floor. They just can't score. Not reliably. It's been getting a little better lately, though. But, they don't have enough weapons on offense. And, you know, Diakite is pretty good, but he's a post guy. So, you know, he's only going to give you so much. They need guys like Clark to be consistent outside shooters so that they have a chance to be efficient offensively. They just aren't anywhere near as efficient as they were a year ago.
And then I wanted to ask you about, because the fly in the ointment is always the mid-majors. And you look at a team like, say, Northern Kentucky, 13-4, 21-8 on the season. You've got the Wright State Raiders and the Horizon League, both those teams on top. Is there a chance that both teams get into the tournament if they don't win, if the other one doesn't win their league tournament?
No, that league is not putting a second team in.
Okay.
That is a tournament winner only league. If it's Wright or Northern Kentucky, you're probably looking at a 14 or 15 seed for either of those teams, and obviously anybody else would be seeded lower. But, no, there's really only two leagues like that have a shot to put a team in the field as an at-large. The Missouri Valley champion, or likely champion, Northern Iowa, has got a chance. That they wanted Colorado this year, and that's a top 25 team. They already got a couple bad losses in the league, though, so if they're going to lose again, they need to make sure they're losing to one of the better teams. And then East Tennessee from the Southern Conference, they also have a quality road win this year at LSU. And again, in the same position, they've already got a bad loss at home to Mercer. They can't afford another loss like that. Need to make sure when they lose in the conference tournament, which would have to happen for them to be an at-large team, that they don't take a loss to a team that's too far down the standing.
Where's the cutoff line in the SEC? I mean, obviously, you have Kentucky and Auburn and LSU sitting there. I mean, is it Florida, South Carolina? Where's the cutoff line there?
Yeah, well, you mentioned the four teams that I've got, more comfortably in the bracket. All Florida's still pretty squarely on the bubble, but Kentucky, Auburn, LSU, it's kind of like the ACC as I described, with those three teams being ahead of everybody else, but those three teams are not as good as the three in the ACC. After that, Florida, I've got Arkansas, one of my last four in. They've been playing without Isaiah Jones. I don't know if he's their best player, but they've got two guys that are really good, and they missed him while he was out. They lost all five of their games, so they got a win over the weekend when he came back, but they're going to have to do more. Mississippi State's got a shot. South Carolina's got an outside shot. If Tennessee had beaten Auburn, we could say that they had a shot, but that's pretty much gone. There really isn't a lot outside of those top three in the SEC this year.
I want to make a mention of this. Bruce Pearl obviously was here and did some great things in the Horizon League with UW-Milwaukee. That guy, he's had his own issues, but that guy can coach, can he?
Yeah, he's doing a terrific job.
That's
no question.
That's amazing.
He's got good players, and might sneak a guy into the NBA or whatever, but he isn't dealing with the same tech that the Kansases and the Kentuckys and the Dukes are dealing with, and yet he's competing toe-to-toe with them.
Yeah, it's amazing. Jerry, it's always great to get you on. It's always great to talk to you. I'm sure we'll chat again come tournament time, but it's exciting. I love this time of year, man. Can't wait for it. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. Jerry Palm, bracketologist for CBSSports.com. Yeah, you look everywhere he went. Bruce left here at UWM and had that program rolling. Takes the Tennessee job, gets the program rolling, gets obviously suspended, and then comes back, takes over the job at Auburn. They're 10-4 in the SEC, 23-4 overall. They're just a couple of games behind Kentucky, who leads the SEC, followed by LSU. And somebody just tweeted me and just said, what about Tom Crean? Tom Crean's Georgia Bulldogs are 4-10 and 14-13. 4-10 in the SEC, second to last above Vanderbilt and behind the Ole Miss Rebels at this point. But just Bruce Pearl is just an amazing coach. He's always going to have a little bit of the smirch on his reputation, but just an amazing coach. And that, here's the other thing to think about, because somebody brought up Calipari to me a little bit earlier as well. Calipari was he won? One? Two titles, Joe, if I'm not mistaken, with Kentucky? He's always been a power, and he's always put people in the NBA. But as far as winning championships, he's won, I think, one or two at Kentucky. I mean, every year he gets close, or he'll get into the situation where they believe they're on their way, and then...
Just one.
I was giving him credit for the second one because I didn't want to miss, but I knew of one, but I was...
Six Final Fours.
Yeah, six Final Fours. He's been there. But Kentucky for... I mean, you'd have thought by now they won 40, listening to some Kentucky fans, but just one. So, anyway. I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break. Come back. We're going to get into the divisions in the NFL, PA, and the NFL, and the 17-game season. And those that say, when it comes to players, nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it. And I'll tell you what it's going to take for them to do it. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show, we continue on. Thank you for joining us. Hey, you all know by now that I have the new Ford F-150. My friends over there at Van Horn Automotive Group absolutely love this thing. Over 3,500 new and used vehicles in stock. They've got 12 manufacturer brands now, 17 locations in Wisconsin, a couple of them in Iowa. They've got the 90-day test drive program, oil changes for life with any vehicle purchase, plus commercial fleet programs for all your business needs, and you can buy it any way you want it. You can stop into the dealership, talk to the salespeople, or you can research it online at vanhornauto.com, and you can save time at the dealership, or do the entire transaction online with Van Horn Direct, and they're going to ship the car right to you, any way you prefer. They get it all done over there, and they're great people, great people. They have the truck center. They've got different vehicle centers. They got great service departments, and they service all makes and models. Plus, they're employee-owned. They're the only employee-owned auto group in Wisconsin, as a matter of fact, and that means everybody has a real interest in your satisfaction. They are voted the 2019 ESOP Company of the Year. There was 180 employee-owned companies in Wisconsin, and they won that award. So for your next ride, check out my friends over there at Van Horn Automotive. Go to vanhornauto.com. That is vanhornauto.com. They are family-born. They're employee-owned. That is our friends at vanhornauto.com. So here's the thing. What they didn't want to take a vote. The Players Association didn't want to take a vote on the proposed offer made by the owners. The owners went from 47% revenue given to the players to 48.5%, and you're talking tens of hundreds of millions of dollars. Or tens of millions of dollars. And so the Players Association didn't want to vote on that because there's a 17-game season in there, even though they're dropping one game from the preseason. So they didn't want to vote on it. But the owners are walking in lockstep. They're saying this is what it is. The players' reps apparently are divided. And those who do not want a 17-game season, those who will accept it with tweaks to the deal, and those who accept it as is. It sounds to me like the two-thirds majority would accept this, and I'll tell you what the difference is going to be. Mo money. That's what it's going to come down to. The reps held a conference call on Wednesday, or on Friday, I should say, and they were set to vote on the deal, but getting a two-thirds majority vote was not going to happen. The Players Association decided to postpone the vote. Everybody wanted to take a few days, sleep on it, and talk about it. So basically saying anything's possible at this point. The players are set to meet with the NFL tomorrow, and then they could have vote as early as Wednesday. But they hope to go back to the owners and continue to negotiate. Now, again, I know they don't want 17 games, but the owners I don't think are going to relent on this. I think it means more coverage. It means more advertising dollars. I also think that it means when you spread out the wealth come the postseason, Additional teams and players are going to get a shot at more money for postseason money. It's all going to come down to money. And I've said this from the very beginning. If the owners believe they can make more money in advertising with a 17th game, they will give more money to the players to say, take it. And the players, the schism between the haves and the have-nots in the NFL is pretty large, okay? You're either making 10, 20 million bucks, or you're making $1 million or whatever. I mean, or 800,000 or something, you know? So the haves, no big deal. The have-nots, they want more money. And the have-nots far outweigh the haves. So my assumption is this is going to get done, and it's going to get done because somebody's going to pay them more money, and that's going to be the owners. They're going to negotiate a little bit more and then kind of go after that. So there you have it. But that's right around the corner. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about the draft. We'll talk some Mason Crosby when we come back. And then our buddy Steve Novak, co-host of the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. He's from Fox Sports Wisconsin. He was there at the game on Saturday. Joel Embiid proclaiming himself the best player in the world. Sure as hell didn't look like it. We're going to talk about that matchup and our fun time that we had out at Concordia University on Friday night with the Milwaukee Basketball Hour as well. Stay tuned. A whole lot more of the Bill Michaels Show next.
In Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.